Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Swing and a drive on the first pitch. Did he keep it fair? He did! It's a one-run game.
Brian Snitker pulled the right string. Javal came in defensively, batted him ninth, and bang, fastball inner half.
Well, Adam Duvall's home run, not enough, though, for the Atlanta Braves. Welcome to the morning show with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. Close, but no win last night at SunTrust Park as the Braves fall to the Philadelphia Phillies. And, yes, the Nationals won, so the magic number this morning stays at 3 for the Atlanta Braves. And welcome to the morning show as we get ready for Hump Day Wednesday. Hugh Douglas, what up?
Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing? This hump day kind of snuck up on me, though. I'm not going to lie. I woke up this morning, I'm like, dang, it's Wednesday already. You know, that Notre Dame-Georgia game is like looming. It's, you know, I'm pretty excited about that. Excited about this whole weekend coming up, you know. Falcons going on the road to Indy. Yeah, it's a pretty good weekend coming up for college sports and professional sports.
Yeah, I mean, it starts today, too, with Atlanta United back in action. Boy, they could really use a win tonight on the road at FC Cincinnati. And we'll have full coverage on 92.9 The Game tonight with Mike Connie and Jason Longshore. Beginning at 7 tonight. With a kick at 7:30, this is a game they ought to win. And after the last two losses to Philadelphia and then Columbus, they could really use it. So Atlanta United tonight, Hugh, as we mentioned. We also talk about getting ready for the Braves tomorrow or maybe on Friday, you know, clinching the division. That'll be a big thing. And then, as you said, you know, all this football coming up this weekend, Georgia, Notre Dame, Falcons in Indianapolis. It's going to be a fun 4 or 5 days.
Man, it's going to be a lot of people in town this weekend for that game. It's going to be a lot of people here, man, and just being excited about being up there at the Grindhouse. Don't know what this atmosphere is going to be like. I'm especially excited because I've never been in this kind of an atmosphere. You know, we go up there for G-Day, but I think this is going to be something totally different. This is going to be a different animal up there this weekend.
Yeah, I think it is, too. Matter of fact, I saw one report you said – that Georgia and the State Patrol and the Athens Police are preparing to have as many people outside the stadium as inside.
I could believe that because I know some folks that are going that aren't actually going to the game. They're just going to be in the festivities. You know, I just think it's going to be one of those days where it's going to be an all-day affair. That's what it kind of feels like to me. That's what I'm anticipating. I'm anticipating this being an all-day affair. Kind of concerned a little bit about what time should we get up there. I know we start our show at 9, but trying to, you know, just time that thing just right so that, you know, we get there in an ample enough time to set up for the show and everything and just get comfortable. I think it's going to be a crazy weekend, no question about it. It's going to be a crazy weekend in Athens.
Yeah, just looking, I just happened to go to StubHub here. The get-in price this morning, if you want to go to the game on the secondary market on StubHub, is $310, okay? All right, there you go. That's going to get you in. And you don't have to be – if they're going to be 93,000 and change in the biggest crowd ever at Sanford Stadium for the game, which there are going to be because they're adding extra 500 seats. And they did that because they've got to give 8,000 tickets to Notre Dame. And they didn't have enough. So they had to buy 500 more seats to give to Notre Dame. So they're putting in temporary stands up around the scoreboard. Anyway, that's the get-in price if you want to be in, like, the 600 level or something. Is $310, and I'm sure they go way up beyond that. All the way to, and even upper level, still $350. I haven't even got past the upper level. People are trying to, you know what, Hugh? People are trying to make a little bit of money on this game.
I mean, that's smart. That's a smart thing to do. I mean, hey, It's one of the most highly anticipated games. It's a game that I know a lot of people have marked on their calendars. A great game for schmoozing, hobnobbing with some celebrities. You know, I was looking at something this morning when we got here, and they were talking about the celebrity tracker, that who's going to be at the game. It's going to be a lot of people. We heard yesterday Tim Brown said he's going. Herschel Walker's going to be there. There's no telling who else is going to be there. We're talking about maybe Omari Hardwick. You know, he went to Georgia. And you know all of the – probably some college celebrities, the guys used to play for Georgia, probably going to be a lot of them there. It's going to – my man McMichael, Randy's going to be there. Of course Randy's going to be there. Well, he's going to be at the broadcast. I don't know. That's a long day for Randy. I'm going to venture to say he'll probably be there in spirit. We're going to just say Randy probably be there in spirit.
Yeah, he's doing noon to three, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's gonna. That's probably gonna be Randy's MO. But yeah, it's gonna be a lot of people there, no question.
Yeah, this is one. Everything you're hearing is one of the reasons I said that I believe firmly this is going to be the biggest non-conference game in the history of Georgia. I know that when I made that statement, that Mike Conley said, "Well, wait a minute now. What about Clemson, Georgia, 1982, and Clemson was defending national champions?" Which is fine. I mean, I'm not talking necessarily about the match. I'm just talking about the hype, the buildup, the television ratings are going to be enormous. I mean, really, the television ratings are going to be gigantic. It may be the highest-rated college football game of the year in the regular season, at least for now, depending on how things work out toward the – I'm not talking about the SEC title game or the playoffs. I'm just saying in kind of regular season play, because everybody tuned into this. We got to find out, you know, is Georgia for real, which I think they are. I actually think Georgia's the best team in the nation. And is Notre Dame better than we give it credit for? And maybe they are. But they're going to have to – this is a – you know, it's a proven game for both teams, Hugh, in a lot of ways. And for Notre Dame, a lot of pressure.
Well, it's the biggest test that they'll have so far in this young season. That's the biggest test for both teams. And I think that, you know, with all the chirping that Georgia did last year about Notre Dame and everything, they wanted, like, Notre Dame is trying to figure out where they are as far as the pecking order, the hierarchy of college sports. You know, you talk about that beatdown that they took last year. And now you're playing against one of the teams that felt like they could have handled you. That's the biggest thing that I'm taking from it, is the fact that, you know, Georgia did all that chirping about they were the better squad. Now it's an opportunity to prove it head up.
Mm-hmm, right, exactly. So, again, a lot going on. Atlanta United tonight trying to get back on track against FC Cincinnati at 7 on 92 on the game. We mentioned Julio Teheran on the mound tonight. After the loss last night, Braves' magic number stands at 3. That'll be at SunTrust Park. And, of course, we're looking forward to Georgia and Notre Dame and the Atlanta Falcons. Now, today is Wednesday. That means head coach Dan Quinn joins us in a little under an hour. Right at the top of the 7 o'clock hour, we'll talk with Coach Quinn about all those issues surrounding the team, including, I'm sure we'll get into a little bit about what they're going to do at punter. I know that when they put out the depth chart yesterday, that Mohamed Sanu was listed as the backup punter for the team. We always say Mohamed's probably the backup kickoff guy, too. I mean, he's a do-everything guy. But apparently they're just going to wait to see if he gets better. I don't think it's too bad on Matt Bosher. Outside of that, one of the things you can kind of knock on wood right now is the Falcons are sitting like in an okay spot from an injury standpoint. And I always have to knock on it for Mike when I talk about that word around the Falcons. But meantime, that's not true around the rest of the league. If you're a fantasy football player, all right, so yesterday I go to Knox Bardeen and I say, Knox, what am I going to do about being able to draft a quarterback? Because my fantasy team, I have Ben Roethlisberger and Andrew Luck. I got nobody, you know, so I had to give him a couple of names and I have to draft something. We are looking at a week coming up in the NFL, week 3. And here's the list of quarterbacks that could be starters, will be starters in the league this week. Mason Rudolph, Jacoby Brissett, who we're going to play, Daniel Jones, Teddy Bridgewater, Will Greer, and Luke Falk. That is a siege. I never would have guessed that. Nobody would have.
I would probably take Jacoby Brissett out of that because he was the actual start at the beginning of the season, so I would probably take him out. But the other guys, man, Mason Rudolph, Falk, those cats, it's been a tough week for quarterbacks. And that's the thing that the NFL has always tried to protect themselves against, is when you have your starting quarterbacks go out, that they hate that. That's bad for the game, especially a game where they want to throw the ball all over the courtyard. But this is an opportunity for some of these young men to step up and kind of make their name for themselves. They even brought Paxton Lynch back into the NFL. He's been sitting on the bench for a little while. I know he was on a squad last year, but now he gets an opportunity to be back in the league this year and maybe get a chance to start at some point during the season.
So you're saying that Abe's saying maybe Kyle Allen, not Will Greer, but whoever the backup is going to be given the nod at Carolina. One of the other things coming out of this is that Luke Falk, and it's possible Sam Darnold is back for the Jets, but Luke Falk apparently is not an acceptable backup because now you've lost Trevor Siemian if you're the Jets. And so there's a lot of chatter as to who the Jets' backup is going to be. And we're hearing all these names that the Jets can make a move. And yes, Kaepernick's name came into that, and some others, some other veterans like Fitzpatrick and whatnot. But one of the other names that's being floated about is Tim Tebow. I went, really?
I need a quarterback. And, I mean, you're going to probably be surprised. This many quarterbacks going out, there's going to be some names that you haven't heard in a while that people are going to start throwing around. I mean, that's just how it is. They're going to be trying to call some guys out of retirement, see if who didn't sign their paperwork, to see if they can get them back out there.
I was like, yeah, you know, Jason went and left and went back to playing. And do some people think that Gronk might go back to playing at some point? Some people do. I don't know if he will or not. But, yeah, so suddenly you're hearing names like, really? Has he played in, like, a few years? You know, I mean, yeah, have they signed their retirement papers? It will be interesting. Daniel Jones being named the starter makes people wonder if the Giants are going to release Eli today.
Probably won't release him, but I'm pretty sure there's going to be some people that are inquiring about him. If it's something that they can get something for Eli, they might consider doing that. Quarterbacks are scarce right about now, and if you got one that can halfway decent play, then you're probably going to take a flyer on him. I wouldn't be surprised if some teams were calling about Eli to see what they were going to do.
Yeah,
if Eli was willing to go.
Right, to have no Drew Brees and no Cam Newton, suddenly. Cam's got a foot issue right now. That's what they're saying. He'd be out a couple of weeks with his foot issue. So
they'd probably love to have Eli down there in Carolina. They would love to have that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's just a thought. Yeah. But you just never know. You just never know.
Yeah, I mean, so it's really interesting to watch what's going on. You know, fantasy football leagues across the nation, of course, guys, teams like it. You weren't touched because you had, like, superstar and superstars. You were fine at quarterback.
Oh, yeah. I got Phillip Rivers and I got Tom Brady.
That's pretty good.
See, that's why I put all that fandom in my pocket. When I'm trying to win, I ain't got time for that fandom stuff. I'm trying to win.
Mm-hmm.
That's why if I'd have had a chance, I'd have gotten Antonio Brown and Ezekiel Elliott. Maybe not Melvin Gordon. Did not anticipate him not being on somebody's roster right about now. That would probably a bad look for somebody. Somebody got a bad look when they drafted Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, but you're sitting around doing the Le'Veon Bell, which is 0-0-0. All right, a lot to get into. You mentioned it's a huge where all kind of sitting around now. Waiting is the hardest part when it comes to the Atlanta Braves. When are they going to clinch? When are we going to have a champagne celebration at SunTrust Park? Didn't quite get there last night. Not going to quite get there tonight either. So will it be Thursday? Will it be Friday? Do you want to clinch against the Phillies or the Giants? Do you want to get to 100 wins? Do you want Ronald Acuna, who took another step towards 40-40? What do you want to see right now from the Atlanta Braves? That's next with John and Hugh after a CBS Sports Minute.
And the pitch is hammered high in the air, deep to left field. Echevarria off the bench has hit a homer. It is 5-3.
He's a difference maker. I mean, you know, he steals a base, gets some scoring position, do everything right in that inning, and you know, the guy made pitches. But we were, you know, sitting right there ready to either tie or win the game.
That was Braves manager Brian Snicker talking about the bottom of the ninth inning against the Phillies in a 5-4 loss last night at SunTrust Park. Braves were down 5-3 going to the bottom of the ninth. Adam Duvall led off with a home run to make it 5-4. Ronald Acuna walked, then stole a base, his 37th steal of the year. Ended up with Ronald Acuna on third and Freddie Freeman on first with one out, so the tying run was 90 feet away, and Donaldson and Marquez couldn't quite make it happen last night. And the Braves end up falling to the Phillies 5-4. Washington did win on the road, beating St. Louis in St. Louis. A lot of effect on the NL Central race in that for the Cardinals. But the Braves' magic number stays at 3 with Julio Teheran going to the mound against the Phillies tonight at SunTrust Park. And welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Ronald Acuna Jr., we talk so much about 40-40. Hugh, he's got 97 RBIs. He could end up with 40 home runs, 40 stolen bases, and 100 RBIs.
Yeah, and you know, he got one last night in the ninth inning. I thought that was pretty exciting. Braves almost rallied. They almost rallied and came back. You know, you talk about the bullpen pitching that they got that helped them stay in the game. I like what I'm seeing from them so far. It's just unfortunate that it got off to a slow start for them last night. But they're playing, to me, that's the type of baseball you're going to need to be playing at this time of the year.
So we're kind of wondering from you, and we asked this on our Twitter, at 929 The Game this morning, about the Braves here. You know, right now, because – look, everybody's, you know, waiting for, you know, kind of the next step here. Are the Braves going to be able to, you know, when are they going to clinch, you know, and then what's going to be the first-round opponent for them from the NL Central division champion? What do you want right now? Do you, as you sit here today, do you want 100 wins? To get to 100 wins, there are 10 games to go, Hugh. The Braves have to go 7-3 to get to 100 wins. Now, we got spoiled around here, and I had to look it up how many times. Between 1993 and 2003, the Braves got to 100 wins or more six times in an 11-year run. I mean, we got spoiled around here. Winning 100 games became kind of like, okay, we're winning 100 games. They did it six times. Do you want to get back to 100 wins for the first time since 2003? Do you want Ronald Acuna, who got his 37th stolen base last night and sits now at 39 home runs and 37 stolen bases, to become the fifth player in the history of Major League Baseball to 40-40? Do you want that? Do you want to clinch at home against the Phillies? That's option number three. Now, they can't clinch tonight, but they could clinch tomorrow. Would it be a big deal for you to clinch against the Phillies and not against the Giants because of everything that's taken place, you know, going back to the beginning of the year and the rivalry with the Phillies? Or are you really anxious for Ender Inciarte's return, and he's listed right now as day-to-day with his hamstring and what he meant to the team? So those are your kind of four options. 100 wins, Acuna to 40-40. We're talking about right now. Home clinch versus the Phillies or Ender's return in the next kind of few days before we get to the playoffs.
I would probably say Acuna's 40-40. I mean, for him to be that close, I mean, that has to be something that's sticking in his head. I mean, and, you know, to be a teammate of his, for him to reach that milestone, I would rather be a part of that. I think everything else is going to kind of fall into place. 100 wins is nice, but I think that with him doing the 40-40 thing, that is something that, you know, you're going to walk with him in that, as far as the history is concerned, with that for forever, you know, as being his teammate or whatever. I just think that this is an enchanted season. I think if you ask some of the guys what they would probably want,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm pretty sure that, you know, Ender coming back would be one of those things. Acuna doing what he's doing. 100 wins, maybe. I just don't see that. Like, to be in the dance is the big, I think, is the bigger thing. To be in the dance is a big thing. So I don't know about the 100 wins. I'm not too hot on that one.
And the fact that they even have a chance to get to 100 wins is almost staggering to me. Clinching at home against the Phillies is something that I would like to see them do. I know they can't do it tonight, but they could do it tomorrow. That's why I was kind of hoping they would cut the magic number down one way or another to two, which would, of course, meant that they could have done it tonight. But the idea that they – it'd be kind of cool if they got it down to one tonight and then all they had to do was win on Thursday, and then you go in the front door, you don't have to sit around and wait for Washington's game to see if you clinched or not, and to have the players be able to celebrate on the field. I think that would be pretty cool, and especially to do it against the Phillies, because it's almost like a full circle moment from that, because we spent so much time, Hugh – you and I spent so much time, remember, dealing with all the fans gripping after that first three-game set.
Yeah, you were one of them. Yeah. You were gripping a little bit.
A little.
You were a little bit. I like how you try to separate yourself from that. But, yeah.
All right.
I mean, for it to come full circle like that, that would be great. And I'm pretty sure that would give closure to a lot of different people. But as you know, as being a fan, a diehard fan, once you get that milestone, you're going to want more. So, you know, it'd be great to end the season like that, but then you got to push it. You got to push it all the way to the end, make it to the World Series. That's what they're going to want after that.
As for Ender's return, he's listed as day-to-day. He's had this hamstring, and you know, sometimes hamstrings just linger. And if you've never had a hamstring, they can be a hard thing to kind of get over, because you can re-pull it pretty easy. And they are literally a pain in the butt, literally.
Yeah, and it was just pointed out to me that on the broadcast last night that they said he was like 80% healthy. That's not, you know, when you're dealing with a groin, I mean, when you're dealing with a muscle pull like that, 80% is cool. But the thing that you're worried about, especially if you're out there and you're pushing yourself, is that you think you're fine one minute, and then when you strain it just a little bit too much, those fast twitch muscles, that's when they tend to re-aggravate themselves. So you don't want that. You don't want this to be something that's going to be lingering.
Yeah, as for Dallas Keuchel, you know, a little bit out of character last night, gave up the two home runs in that five-run fourth inning. He's been pitching so great. I guess, you know, you give him kind of the one-off inning where it just was a little bit flat with some of his pitches. I saw people going, oh, no, Keuchel, you know, this is why we don't want Keuchel to be the number one pitcher. I'm like, oh, come on. I mean, he had a bad inning. Aside from the bad inning, he's, you know, been stellar his last 8 or 10 outings. Dallas Keuchel is going to be the opening night pitcher for the Atlanta Braves, most likely in the
playoffs. I would agree. And the thing about this series is just a formality. You know, we know we got the magic number is three. We'd like to get it done sooner than later. But the team that you're playing against, they're fighting for their playoff lives as well. So, you know, you're going to get – not saying that the Braves are slacking off, but, man, you know, the Phillies are going to mm-hmm. come to play. I mean, they're trying to stay alive in this thing. So, it's not going to be easy. No question about that. It's not going to be easy. But it sure would be nice to pop those champagne bottles like, what, on if you were you, in town. We got tomorrow, today and tomorrow. Yeah, it would be nice to pop those bottles.
Yeah, the Phillies, by the way, with that win last night, the Phillies and the Mets are still alive. It's a tall order, but they're still alive. At the moment, the Nationals are going to be a wild card team. We know that. The other wild card team is going to come out of the NL Central, and it's either most likely going to be the Brewers or the Cubs, and or it could still be the Cardinals.
Keep hope alive.
But the Phillies and Mets are four games behind the final wild card spot. Okay, four. But there's 10 to go. Well, in the case of the Phillies, actually, there's 10 to go for the Braves. The Braves have played more games than most everybody else. The Phillies still have 13 games to go, and they're four back.
Keep hope alive.
Yeah, so if the Phillies come in here and take two out of three and then go on a tear, it's still possible the Philadelphia Phillies could make the playoffs, and still possible the New York Mets could make the playoffs as a wild card team. So we'll see how this all kind of plays out. You know, one of those hot streaks down the end of the stretch, and, yeah, Philadelphia could be in the playoffs. The NL East could send three teams to the playoffs.
Keep hope alive.
Right. We'll see. You know, I don't really want to see one of the NL East teams get hot because it kind of worries me a little bit. I think as a Braves fan, I'd almost rather face the Dodgers in the NLDS than have to face the Washington Nationals or the Philadelphia Phillies again. Because they're so familiar with you, you know, it's, you know, one of those cases where how many games did you just play against? I mean, tomorrow will be game 14 in a row against those two teams. We haven't seen anybody else in over 2 weeks, just those two guys. And there is something to be said about familiarity, that's for sure.
So you want us to get you a puppy? You sound like you're a little worried. Sound like you're a little worried. At this point, the way this season has been going, I don't care. I wouldn't care who you line up against. I mean, you're in the dance, and if that's the opponent that you have to face, then so be it. As far as familiarity and all the other stuff, a lot of people didn't feel like they were going to be in this position that they're in. They thought it was going to be a runaway for somebody else like the Phillies or even the Nationals. So at this point, I've been cooling them off. I've been playing a fire extinguisher all up until this point. It ain't going to kill me to do it one more time. I understand what you're saying about familiarity and playing a team that knows you so well and everything like that, but – this team has evolved and has changed from the first time that they've met the Phillies to now. And the relief pitching has been pretty good for you. So I wouldn't be worried about anybody that I have to face in that and from those two teams.
Well, this big week where the Braves can clinch, where Georgia and Notre Dame, where the Falcons can maybe rest first place in the NFC South. And it all starts tonight with Atlanta United taking on FC Cincinnati. Our official watch party for this game is at Mojitos in Peachtree Corners. Atlanta United FC Cincinnati watch party, Mojitos, Peachtree Corners, starting at 7 o'clock. Well, you can go to our Twitter and vote in our Braves poll this morning on what you want to see right now for the Braves. Also, keep your eyes up for the morning menu questions, what Abe the producer has for us in store. And that is next with John and Hugh on the Morning Show on this Wednesday from the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92 on the Game at 92onthegame.com.
Heads up, there's a three-course meal headed your way. This is the Morning Menu on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What three questions is Flash Gordon going to throw at us right now? All right, this will be interesting.
Good morning, guys. How
morning,
are you?
Abe.
Good morning, Abe. What's going on? What you got?
I'm sure we were all tuned in to the WNBA lottery last night, the Atlanta Dream, fourth overall. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going there. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to ask you who they're taking fourth overall. Don't worry. The first real question, however.
You probably know.
I have some thoughts. The first real question here on the morning menu, your appetizer round, and I don't think it's as obvious as it's written, so we'll see what you guys have to say. But which quarterback is more vital to their team's success on Saturday, Ian Book or Jake Fromm?
I'd probably say Ian Book, coming off the game that he had. And, you know, you're talking about Notre Dame's offense. I mean, they're not – I would probably say off the top, they're probably not as talented per position as Georgia is. So they're going to have their quarterback to have a banner day in order for them to stay alive in this game. So, yeah, I'll say Ian.
I totally agree. I think, Jake Fromm, I don't want him to have an off day, but Jake Fromm has an off day. He's got DeAndre Swift. He's got that defense. He's got a lot of ways he can win this game. I'm not sure Notre Dame does. Ian Book has to be on his game. So he is, to me, more valuable than Jake Fromm.
Yeah, and yesterday Tim Brown said almost as much. He said Ian Book has to play a perfect game. He said that's the level that they're at. I want to bring this this aspect to you, and because I'm of the mindset that Notre Dame will do everything in their possibilities to prevent Georgia from getting DeAndre Swift going. And so I think they're going to really determine and load up and stop the run. And that's why I wonder how much significance there is to what Jake Fromm has to be on Saturday. I don't think he has to be 5 touchdowns, 400 yards, but I do think he has to do a little bit more than we've seen him do in these first couple of games. And obviously the opponent level is different, but I think it's going to be interesting to see just how many guys they throw in the box. If he's got one-on-one coverage, he's just got to make the throws. You don't have to be perfect, like you said. If you're Jake Fromm, you just have to have a regular game. Just don't have a bad game. But I think it'll be interesting to see just how much they put on Notre Dame's defense. I mean, puts on the shoulders of Fromm to say, hey, if we're going to go down, we're going down because you beat us, not because DeAndre Swift went for, 180.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how you feel, but I don't know that if you're Notre Dame and you load the box, I still think Georgia's running on you with that. I still think they're gonna find lanes with that offensive line and those guys. I think they'll still find ways to beat you.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be one of those games where it might be tough sledding in the first half for Georgia running the ball, but the size differential, I think
they'll start to get some chunk runs out there.
Yeah, that's gonna make a huge difference.
Enough.
And you've seen that. We've seen this before. You know, teams come out and they play them tough in the first half. You get that halftime going, and those big fellas get to leaning on you a little bit with those running backs coming from all over the place. It's going to be a tough task.
I don't want to jump too far into some of the other content we'll have for you this week, but none of us are assuming this game's close, right?
I don't think so. I think this is a beatdown.
Hey, John, I've already talked to you. I mean, none of us, I mean, if that's going to be one of our picks on the pick six, we all know where we're going.
Right.
So, it'll be interesting. Yeah. Okay. Second question here, main course. And I know we talked a little bit about some of the quarterbacks that are around the league that have been thrust into a starting position. Now, for the emphasis, and when I wrote this, the Eli Manning, Daniel Jones thing hadn't happened yet. Let's keep Daniel Jones out of this. He was drafted for this. He was drafted to be the Giants starter long term.
Well, yes, but.
No, there's no yes, but.
Yeah, because Dave Gettleman said, I'm going to keep OBJ, then turns around and trades OBJ.
None of the other guys I'm going to reference are in the same discussion.
Wait a second. Daniel Jones was going to be. I'm drafting Daniel Jones to be a backup for 2 years. He was a backup for 2 games.
Yeah, but you can't trust anything the GM said. Here's the question, though, and I think you understand why Jones is not in this discussion for my point of this. Which NFL quarterback thrust into his starting position do you think has the most long-term potential as a starter? I think we're talking about Mason Rudolph, Teddy Bridgewater, Gardner Minshew, Jacoby Brissett, or even Luke Falk, and any others you may want to throw in there. But that's why I want Daniel Jones not quite in this crop of quarterbacks. But which among those do you think has the most long-term starting potential?
Wait a minute, what'd you say again? Give me the name.
Mason Rudolph, Teddy Bridgewater, Gardner Minshew,
Teddy Bridgewater,
Jacoby Brissett, or Luke Falk?
Teddy Bridgewater.
I don't think that Luke Falk is a starter anywhere.
A reason why
I thought
Teddy Bridgewater
be starting on Sunday.
Yeah, I actually will go with Mason Rudolph. I liked him in college. I thought he was really good at Oklahoma State. Let's see if he can't develop into a quarterback. I mean, we're totally guessing here. We know what Teddy brings you, and he's not wrong in that he is a veteran compared to the rest of these guys who are rookies. I mean, the guy's been in the league 5 years.
Damn.
Yeah. You know. So
I'm gonna actually go a little off the page here and go with Gardner Minshew.
Why?
I have actually liked what I've seen from him through a week and 2.5 quarters, however much he played in that first game. I thought he almost led them to victory against Houston, a failed 2-point conversion away, or if they just kicked PAT and gone to overtime. But I almost led them to victory against Houston. Obviously, they weren't anywhere close in week one, but he performed well. I think he won Offensive Rookie of the Week, if I'm not mistaken, in that game. So I think Gardner Minshew, for whatever reason, I also like the swagger he brings. He's just a different dude. And maybe that shouldn't count for anything, but for me, it does. I kind of like Gardner Minshew. It doesn't help he's on a team that's probably pretty terrible, right? I mean,
they're falling apart as we speak.
Yeah, players want to flee.
A little bit.
Everybody wants out of Florida.
Not a big fan of their head coach, apparently. But I don't know. I really like Gardner Minshew. Now, Again, I think to Hugh's point, Teddy Bridgewater, I mean, if you had to start a franchise of this group of guys, you're going with Bridgewater.
But, yes.
But I'm interested to see what Rudolph do and what Gardner Minshew do.
He got a nice little mustache. He got the mustache game going for him with the bandana.
Okay, final question. And I'm going to throw the caveat to keep it clean.
Keep it clean.
Keep it clean, ladies and gentlemen. What's your favorite word in the English language?
Oh, I can't do this one, Dan, because it's...
You can't find one clean one?
That I like.
Can't find one?
I don't know. You mean it's like a go-to?
However you want to take it. Your favorite word in the English language.
Nah, because it'd probably get me in trouble.
You can't find a single clean word.
Maybe dude. Maybe dude.
John, your favorite word. Is it better than dude?
Why you just gloss over me just like that? Like, okay, move on.
Is it better than dude?
Score.
Oren, these are the wordsmiths we're dealing with.
My go-tos are bad words.
My favorite word in the English language is thrice.
Thrice.
Like when you refer to something thrice.
Thrice. I don't think I've said that.
No, most of mine are.
Yeah, because it's a great word. You need to start working it in there. It's way better than score or dude.
Most of mine are cuss words though. I figured
most of you. That's why I threw the caveat. I literally wrote the caveat. Keep it clean.
That's why I'm like, I ain't got like it's certain cuss words that are like choice cuss words at certain times of the day.
I've now had to tell you to keep it clean thrice, Hugh. All right.
Yes, you have.
There we go.
I like how you worked your word into the favorite word thing. Dude, I can work dude in a couple times too. Dude.
Well, we got the dude coming up because Dan Quinn's going to join us in thrice minutes here. The Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament is benefiting the Travis Manion Foundation. It's at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs, Wednesday, September 25th, a week from today from 4 to 7. Brian Jordan, Marquise Grissom, Muhammad Massacoy, Ronnie Brown, Jason Campbell, many more. It's kind of a low-key tournament, so you don't have to be a great bowler. Don't worry, we're not out there trying to kill it. We want you to come join us. You can get more information on our events page at 929thegame.com. As mentioned, head coach Dan Quinn live next ahead of the game against the Indianapolis Colts. We'll see what the coach has to say when he joins us on the morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.